You're listening to the podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness from LVSportsNetwork.com, brought to you by Porta Subs.
It's Unnecessary Roughness, presented by the Jewelers of Las Vegas.
Lost a couple games this year, but for some reason, you know, for me, this one just hurts, you know, because I know we're better than that team. I know we got more dogs. I know we're better than that team. So, you know, I'm just pissed off that we couldn't pull out the win.
Is that the same feeling that the rest of the locker room has, in your opinion?
Yes, I mean, of course, there's a lot of competitive guys. We put the work in. You know, we know that we're better than that team.
This is Unnecessary Roughness, broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio. Here's your boy Q.
And here we go, kicking off hour number three of the show. It's Unnecessary Roughness, Raider Nation Radio 920. We come on back with Amik Robertson in the Raiders locker room on Sunday, talking about the dogs in the locker room. You can hear the emotion in his voice, the energy, where he was very hurt and upset and angry that the Raiders lost that game to Kansas City on Sunday. And that's stuff I like to hear and stuff I like to see. I really do like to see players take that personally. Not that I want anyone to be upset and mad, but just knowing how much it cares, that it means that much to them, that they're angry, like you heard Amik, and you can hear it in his voice. So I could definitely appreciate that. We want to hear from you at 702-365-9200 and the don'tbebroke.com text line at 69187, keyword R&R. We got a lot to get to in this hour. Herm Edwards was actually a guest on my radio show Game Night on ESPN Radio last night. Got some sound bites from him on quarterbacks and coaches in the NFL, so we'll hear from him. Rob Leonard, the Raiders defensive line coach, would love to hear from him. Max Crosby, we have that we want to hear from as well. So we've got a lot to get to, but let's start things off with Davante Adams. Started out the game hot, 5 catches for 73 yards, and then that was it. So they weren't able to connect anymore. He only had a couple more targets throughout the rest of the game, and again, ended the game with 5 catches, 73 yards. Here's Davante Adams in the Raiders locker room following the game.
When did things start to change? You guys got up 14-0. Where did you feel the momentum start to shift in that one?
I mean, we just won a couple possessions without putting any points on the board, and then you know, they got a really good offense, so it just kind of put ourselves in a tough spot by not helping the defense out and pushing that lead. And then we went in 0-0 at halftime and just didn't take care of it, didn't really have any momentum to get something going in the second half.
Was there anything that you felt they did special to slow you down after that first couple of possessions?
No disrespect to them, but it was more about what we were doing. I mean, we just didn't really execute the way that we had been, you know, that in the positions that put us, you know, with some points on the board. So we just got to do a better job of sticking to the things that, you know, get us to that point, staying aggressive, and just finding a way to finish it.
How frustrating is that, Davante, when you guys are having so much success doing things a certain way, and then all of a sudden it seems like somebody bumped a DJ table kind of thing?
Yes, it is frustrating. It's confusing, too. And, yeah, I don't really know what to say or, you know, exactly why it went the way it did, but we just couldn't figure it out in the second half.
What's the mentality like going into the bye week now?
Just got to get everybody healthy and get ready to finish the season as good as what we can. We still got everything in front of us. We're just making it harder each week by not winning. So we got to rally, get our minds right, get our bodies right, and get ready to play whoever we got after the bye.
How much do you guys need this bye, in your opinion?
I mean, we played a lot of football now, so we definitely need it. I mean, it's tough to go week in and week out playing ball without getting a little reboot time. So it'll be good to have this. Would have been better having a victory going into it, but, you know, here we are.
There's Davante Adams following the game right there in the Raiders locker room. And, you know, he always gives the real answers. He always gives, you know, what's on his mind. We can always appreciate that. Never really shies away from speaking with us, win, lose, tie, whatever the case may be. Of course, it's been a couple times that we haven't talked to Davante, but for the most part, he is always available to talk with us and just give us his thoughts on what he saw and what he's going through as he's out there on the field. And as you heard him say, very important for them to go through this bye week, since they've played a ton of football. 12 straight games they've played. Now they get a bye week, and then they'll come back and finish off with the final 5 games. Going to the don'tbebroke.com text line at 69187, keyword R&R. This is from LJ. He said, I hope we take some serious time implementing some new aspects of the offense. The Josh McDaniels system failed last year, failed this year. It's so hard judging Aiden and ultimately AP with his failed offensive playbook. So making as many additions and tweaks to his playbook is what I'm hoping for over the next 12 days. And, again, I think that is important. Right, whatever worked, cool. You can use whatever Aiden does really well, cool, you can use. Whatever doesn't, don't. Don't use it, right? What you don't like, don't use it. And maybe condense the playbook a little bit and just focus in on what you do really well and, you know, just go out there and execute over the next 5 weeks. I think that's very important. Really good text right there from our guy LJ. Let's go out to Dave B. in the 757. What's on your mind, Dave B.? Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Q. Appreciate it. So for the topic of the day, looking at what we want to see coming out of the bye, you know, on the offensive side, I couldn't agree more. You know, Hardig Reed and the offensive staff need to really do some self-examination and, you know, go away from their tendencies, be less predictable. The last thing you want is the other team to know on third and medium, you know, you're going to come out in 21 personnel and attack the boundary, right? You want the other team to, you know, say, hey, they could come out and do this, but they've shown this. Oh, by the way, they could also do this. So kind of insert some doubt, you know, on the opposition in terms of them planning for you and scheming for you. So that's what we need on the offensive side. On defense, you know, obviously, without saying, 98, get healthy. You know, we can't really, you know, do much except hope for that at this point, you know, but we need 98 healthy to be able to, you know, be as a game changer that he is. But the other point I wanted to make on the defensive side is maybe, you know, in that secondary, they kind of need to find a way to gel as a unit now with Peters gone, you know, maybe get more reps for Jones and Bennett and, you know, let Nate Hobbs do his thing, you know, Meek do his thing, but maybe give them a chance to kind of gel. And, you know, that's without saying in the deep end with, you know, the release of the player who will not be named, you know, having, you know, Epps and Moore kind of just solidify themselves on the back end on the defensive side. So those are the two things I wanted to bring to the table, sir.
There you go. That'll work. Good stuff. Dave B. in the 757. Thanks so much for that. Definitely appreciate the call, my man, and it's always good to hear from you. And, yeah, again, there's a lot to go into what they could do this week, and there's a lot that you're going to be able to, you know, really see, I think, coming out of the bye week. Of course, you got to have guys healthy. That's the most important thing. Guys got to get healthy, including Max Crosby. But you do, at the same time, have to evaluate, right? It is evaluation time. I know that everyone still has playoffs in their mind, and that's fine, and that should be the goal, including the players that they're evaluating. They should all be having the mindset of, yeah, let's go out there, let's ball out, and let's try to make it to the playoffs. Just like Hunter Renfrow said earlier, just about, hey, you know, we got five games, we did it before, we could do it again, and have that kind of you know, thoughts in their mind. Now, is it easy? No, of course not. But that's exactly, you know, what they should do, and at the same time be able to get a really good, strong evaluation of the players that, you know, you have on the roster. With that being said, thanks so much for that call. Do appreciate you. Got a text on the DontBeBroke.com text line. Matter of fact, got a bunch of texts from the DontBeBroke.com text line. This is from Raider Tony. Hey, Q, great show as usual. My opinion about our quarterback, Aiden O'Connell, is to give him time to get his groove on, which what happened to Hurts and Tua. They didn't turn things around during their first year either. Thank you. That's from Raider Tone E. And I agree with that. But I don't think that the Raiders have time to say, all right, going to give you this year and maybe next year to see what happens. Right? I just don't think that they're in that position. Now, if they are, then you correct me if I'm wrong. I just don't think that that's the position that they're in. I think they need to identify who their quarterback's going to be and what he's going to do, what he could do, how far he could take them. I just feel like that this team has been in a position for so long where they kept waiting and waiting. Give this guy time. Give this guy that. Give this guy weapons. Give this guy defense. Now, I know the defense never, you know, came around for the silver and black and came around for Derek Carr, but how many years did we keep saying, well, if you give him this, oh, you give him an offensive line, you give him a run game, you give him, and it just, again, no fault of his own, so I don't want anyone to take this the wrong way, but it was 9 years. So then you have this year where it's supposed to be the Jimmy G run. We all know how that shook out. Well, Aiden O'Connell's got 9 games. He's got 9 games to show glimpses and signs that he could be that guy. I'm not saying he has to be a finished product. None of us are, right? Even to this day, none of these guys are finished products. Jalen Hurts is still getting better in Philadelphia. Other guys are getting better. But you could see signs of what they were going to be. Yeah, there was question marks with Tua. But question marks that Tua had were always what? Can he stay healthy? That was always the question. Jalen Hurts, he went in there behind Carson Wentz, who before he got injured was an MVP candidate. And then Nick Foles took the Eagles to the play, or won the Super Bowl with the Philadelphia Eagles. And guess what? The Eagles identified Carson Wentz wasn't the guy pretty quick and moved on from him. And so then Jalen Hurts went in there as a second-round pick and held it down. Other guys weren't successful right away, but you saw the traits. That's all I'm saying. You got to have the traits. You got to see the traits that you could tell and really hang your hat on that, okay, cool, this guy can get it done. All we've got to do is this, that, and the other. That's my thought right there. There was a few sounds. We had Herm Edwards, as I mentioned earlier in the show. We had Herm Edwards on my night show on Game Night on ESPN Radio last night. He joins us each and every Monday night after Monday Night Football. And, of course, that game wasn't very good. But we started looking at and focusing in on Justin Fields because he's a young quarterback who might not be in Chicago next year. And I know there's rumors and reports that maybe he's a guy the Raiders would be interested in. I didn't see a whole lot from him Monday night that would make me interested in wanting him to play for the Raiders. But, I mean, again, just like what we just said, well, maybe if you put this, that, and the other around him. I don't know, just certain things, certain guys you get an idea of, and you either know they have it or they don't. And the way he turned that ball over Monday night really bothered me. It just looked like it was too reckless for a guy that's been in the league as long as he's been in the league. But I thought I'd ask someone who knows and been around the game a lot longer than me. So the first question my partner, Emmett Golden, actually asked was about the importance of a young quarterback and being in the right location. And the example that Emmett gave was if the Browns had drafted Ben Roethlisberger, he wouldn't have turned into Ben Roethlisberger. He would have just been another quarterback on the Browns tree.
Well, I think it's not only location, but it's the willingness to build around the guy and give him a chance. And I think we're quick anymore on wanting to judge young quarterbacks and coaches as well. You know, when you draft a young quarterback, the question you got to ask yourself, is there enough people around him to help him? You look at the Carolina situation, that poor young man, I mean, he was in dire straits. I mean, there was really nothing around him to help him, right? And so the coach, you know, he takes the fall for that. Now people are questioning, should they have drafted him that high? Everyone was in on this. They wanted to draft him. But most of the time, guys, in this league, I go back to the Peyton Manning story. First year through 28 interceptions. You know, it takes about three seasons to figure it out. And then hopefully within that time you have a good idea of what you have.
So there you go. That kind of goes back to the last text. Like it's gonna take some time. But again, I don't feel like the Raiders have that kind of time to sit there and not mess around, but sit there and wait 3 years, right? The Raiders are in a position where they've got to find out who their guy is going to be and move forward. And hell, coaches these days don't have 3 years. And actually, that was the question that I asked to Herm Edwards was about not only, you know, just the quarterback taking 3 years, but the coaches. So here's my question, and here's Herm Edwards' answer. Is it fair now, Coach? Maybe fair is not the right word, but you said it takes three seasons to find out what you have. It feels like coaches don't have three seasons anymore, as we just saw. Frank Reich had 11 games.
Yeah, no, it's almost like it's fantasy football. You know, I'm going to trade this player. Or I'm going to get rid of this guy. And, you know, it sounds all good when you do that. But if you're an organization that has a quick trigger finger on coaches, players see that too. And in the long run, you know, a lot of the good players you may have on that roster eventually are going to leave because they say, you know what, we can never build anything here. And then players that are in free agency kind of look at your team and go, you know, I don't want to go down there because every time I turn around, they're firing a coach or getting rid of this guy. And so, you know, it can backfire on you. And so I just think there has to be some type of patience. You got to understand that when you start this deal, it's hard to win games in the NFL. It really is. I mean, one of the greatest coaches to ever coach the game is in New England. And all of a sudden, it's different there now. And I think people need to realize what that guy did, but you know what? Eventually, it comes to an end, and you're like everybody else. You're just trying to win a game. Just trying to win one again.
Herm Edwards right there just talking about, you know, coaches having to win immediately, and that's what it is. That's what the NFL is. There was a time, we're going back to that text, you can draft a quarterback and let him sit. And he sat behind a veteran, and he sat behind a veteran, and he learned. Like Aaron Rodgers sat behind Brett Favre. Now, Brett Favre happens to be a Hall of Famer, so there's that. But that's how it always was, right? You draft a quarterback, you let him sit, you let him learn, and then when you feel comfortable, you go ahead and slide him in. They don't do that anymore. It's like Herm Edwards just said, it's the fantasy football world, it's the microwave society. Everything's got to be done immediately, instantly. You pop it in the microwave, a minute later, it's good to go. You're ready to sit down and eat. That's just the reality of it. And you see these coaches don't get that kind of time. In Carolina, for example, and that's what we were kind of alluding to in this interview with Coach Edwards, David Tepper, the owner, has fired three coaches in season. Ron Rivera, Matt Rhule, and now Frank Reich. Frank Reich had 11 games with the rookie quarterback. You want to talk about give him time. Is that time? And I know that the quarterback they're still giving the time to, but they didn't give the head coach the time. It just doesn't happen. And that's the thing about it. And in the Raiders example, you look at what they got going on. They've been kind of spinning their wheels for a little while, right? It wasn't a very good season last year. We all know that. 6 wins is not very good. Okay, be patient. It's a 3-year plan. Remember, we all said that. And everybody called into the show and said, fire the coach. Get rid of him now. Get rid of him now. Get rid of the quarterback. He sucks. Get this guy out of there. It sounds good saying it. Oh, be patient. Don't worry about it. But Raider Nation, who's been there for the longest, 10, 20, 25, some longer, are like, how much longer do I got to be patient? When is the patience going to pay off? That's the problem. Also, another soundbite from Herm Edwards as he was part of game night last night on ESPN Radio. This is just about being consistent. How difficult is it to be a consistently good quarterback in the NFL?
Coach, you talk about the quarterback position. Joshua Dobbs was a guy who arrived in Minnesota and captured everybody's imagination with his story. Tonight, 1 touchdown, 4 interceptions. How hard is it to play quarterback at a consistent level in the NFL?
Nah, it's the hardest one to play of all the positions, right? It's demanding, the ability to process the information, and throw the ball in a manner where there's accuracy involved in it. It's a tough spot, you know. And look, a little bit of what happened to Josh Dobbs tonight is an indication why Josh Dobbs has kind of been to a lot of different teams, right? Because the one thing that I've learned about sports, just there's a difference between being the backup and the starter. And the difference is this. The reps you get as a starter in a football game, let's just say it's 65, 70 plays. And the backup guy gets about 25 plays. And he's a pretty good player. But the more you expose him, the more the warts show, right? And it's just a matter of time. And every player wants to be a starter until they have to go be a starter, right? Because you get exposed a little bit more. And if you can't handle that, the warts come out. And that's in sports in general. You know, that's why there's certain players. And we always say, what is your role on the team? And everybody says, oh, I want to be a starter. Okay. Well, when you're playing 75 reps and the other guy's only playing 25, there's more margin for error at 75 than there is 25. And so all those things matter. And when you play quarterback and you play with the ball, you really get exposed when you make some bad decisions with the ball, right? And I just think hopefully he gets over this. He's still the quarterback there because obviously their quarterback's hurt, Kirk Cousins. And, you know, this is a tough loss for him, but they'll still have an opportunity to make the playoffs.
Coach Herm Edwards right there just talking about being a consistent quarterback in the NFL and why it's so difficult. One, you're going from being, right, a starter to having a backup in there, and there's a reason why. They always say it. I say this all the time. It's always the next man up mentality. That's what every coach will tell you. Every single coach will tell you, next man up mentality. And I always will tell you, if the next man was as good as that man, he would not be the next man up. He would be the man up, period. If he was as good as that guy. There's a reason why the next man up is the next man up, but he's not the man. Because there's something in his game that has not evolved him. And some guys step up and they evolve into that guy, don't get me wrong. But there's a reason why the starter is a starter and the backup is the backup. And exactly what Coach Edwards just rolled out. You know, when you're out there and you're the starter and you're getting more reps, whether it's at the quarterback position or even the cornerback position, all of a sudden your tendencies and your issues start to get exposed. It may work for a game. It may work for two. Hell, it might work for four. But eventually, people start picking up on your tendencies, on what you do well, and what you don't. The final soundbite I want you to hear from head coach Herm Edwards, as we had him on game night last night on ESPN Radio, was my question to him about Justin Fields being a franchise quarterback in the league. From your standpoint, is he a guy that you could see, whether in Chicago or somewhere else, that could be a true franchise quarterback in the league?
Well, I think it's still an open book. The story's not written yet on him. It'll be interesting when the season ends, what direction the Chicago Bears go in. Do they keep him and say he's going to be our guy of the future, or do they pass and move on? I still think, you know, he has a lot of talent. He really does. He's scary with the ball in his hand as a runner. You know, reminds me a lot of the guy in Philadelphia as far as his run skills. But we know that to win games in this league, you got to be able to play from the pocket and throw the football. And this is where he's going to have to grow if he's going to be a franchise quarterback.
And see, there's a lot of if right there, right? There's a lot of if coming from Coach Edwards. We know what he is with the ball in his hands and he's running. We know that when it comes to Justin Fields. And again, the only reason I bring this up is because I know his name has been floated out there multiple times. And so when something like that happens, I like to get and do my due diligence and ask people that are smarter than me their thoughts. That's exactly why I'll bring up a guy like a Justin Fields. I think I asked multiple people about Justin Fields yesterday. There's a reason for that, because I knew that name was associated with the Raiders, especially with Champ Kelly being in the front office, knowing he's got Bears ties. Like, I it's almost like what I say all the time about I don't ask questions that I don't know the answer to already. I don't ask questions for no reason. Everything has a purpose. There's a reason for everything. So when I ask a question about a Justin Fields or anyone else, there's a reason to it, because I've seen the same reports that you've seen. I've heard the same conversations that you've heard. And I'm not going to come out there and say, hey, this is what's going to happen. This is what I think needs to happen, but I'm going to do my due diligence. And so you hear Herm Edwards saying that, you know, he's got to evolve as a passer. Can he get it done in the pocket? Can you take that chance if you're deciding that, yeah, you know what, that's the direction that we want to go? Is he a guy that you want to take a chance on? Obviously, you'd have to trade for him. I don't know what it would take to get him. Probably a second to third round pick. Maybe a little bit more, but I don't think a first round pick, that's for sure. I don't think that you can see the Chicago getting him. And look, Chicago might not even move on from him. They might say, well, we like what we got in him, and we're going to build around him. We're going to get some other pieces. So who knows? But that was Coach Herm Edwards. He was on the show last night, game night, on ESPN Radio. He joins us every single Monday night following Monday Night Football. Let's go out to the phone lines at 702-365-9200 as we're scatter shooting, going back and forth, text, calls, sound, doing a whole lot in this final hour of the show. Let's talk to our guy, Passionate Raider. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hey, man, you know, yesterday when we ended, you know, I wasn't saying that Aiden didn't pass the ball around, because we all know he did, but it just seemed that every time it come down to it, he started just staring down that lane, man, and there's no need to do that, man. We don't need to do that. But the Justin Fields stuff, Q, I had to turn the game off. I watched an old Martin Lawrence movie last night because that game was so boring, man. We cannot go down the Justin Fields road, man. That is something that just – that door needs to be closed quick, fast, in a hurry, because he might not even be on the team next year. Q, I don't think he – we've seen the kind of quarterback that comes with that. The guy's talented, but he just doesn't have what it takes to play in the NFL. Wish them all the luck, but definitely not the silver and black Q. I mean, Aiden went out there on Sunday against one of the number one defenses and put up the second best passer rating in the league with a horrible line. I just think it's too quick to throw the towel in on this kid without proper coaching, without somebody better calling a quarterback, whatever. But just to say, no, he ain't the future with nothing thrown in the fire is just so unfair to Aiden, man. So I wish him the best the rest of the year. I'm riding with the kid. I think he's got guts. He took a couple shots on Sunday, and he still got back up. We all thought for a second that Jimmy was going to get in, but Aiden stayed strong, and he went back out there, man. So it's a tough situation to be in right now. Here we are again. You know, playoffs are not looking good again, Q. So, hey, let's just get a – let's beef up that offensive line and see what Aiden can do, man. Because even if you do get a Ben Johnson, look at the type of quarterback he's playing with, a Jared Goff. Same kind of quarterback Aiden is. Pocket passer, big arm. I don't know. You got to roll with the kid for a little bit. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, passionate Raider there. Thanks for the call. And, yeah, I mean, look, I'm not championing for Justin Fields. I like the thought of the talent that he is. I like the thought of the mobility he has. But as Coach Edwards said, you got to be able to get it done in the pocket as well. And from what I saw on Monday Night Football, really kind of locking in for multiple reasons. Like I said, I hear the same reports that you do. And I'm just, like I said, I'm going to do my due diligence because that's my job. As far as I'm concerned, that's my job. I wasn't impressed by anything I saw. I'm sure not going to pound the table and say, hey, that needs to be the guy. But I understand that there's going to be some out there that feel like, yeah, he can be the guy with a change of scenery. Maybe he could be the dude. And you know what? Maybe he can. But so far what I've seen, and of course I'll continue to pay attention, to me, that's probably not the right direction. That's probably not the right guy to go with. And I think that we'll learn a lot about Aiden O'Connell, right? I've said it so many times. I think that the opportunity is right there in front of him to prove who he could be. He's got five more games. It makes all the sense of the world. Let the kid ride. You know, let's see what he could do. I have no problem. I was asked earlier today, I was doing an interview, and they said, well, is there any thoughts of taking Aiden O'Connell out and putting Jimmy G back in? I said, why? For what? What are you going to learn about Aiden O'Connell on the bench? Nothing. Exact same reason why I wanted to make sure he got multiple games under his belt before anything was decided. All right, let the dude play. He's playing. Let's see what he can do. Let's go out to the phone lines again, talk to our guy Houston in L.A. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, what's up, Q? Man, I'm just at Magic Johnson's Park, man. You know, look at these big geese or whatever they call them. You know what they call them, man. But, like, you know, all that good stuff. And I start thinking, man, like, checking out your show, of course. You know, because you're bad, brother, right? Right? You would. All right, but, like, when it comes back to the quarterbacks, man, like, one thing I'm kind of getting tired of is my Raiders always being up in a new article as far as the new quarterback that they need to be looking at, as far as some mediocre kind of quarterback. Now, I like Justin Fields. You know, he's all right, but he reminds me of a lot of, like, Terrell Pryor. I mean, he ain't got the same frame, but – you know, his get down kind of like Terrell. You know how Terrell just back in the day, he didn't look at all his reads and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And then it's like, you know, I'm gone. And then, you know, he made some sensational highlights, no doubt. But, man, we need, like, more structure. And I already know that they ain't going to be able to get, you know, big Caleb Williams out of USC. You know what I mean? South Central. But like, Aiden is cool. It's just he's going to need more time. But just like you've been saying earlier, Q, like, when you got time like that, man, because, I mean, time is of the essence, especially in Vegas. I mean, you know, it's kind of like for this year, you know, we just hanging on by a thread. You know, I'm not going to just say it's all the way out yet, but, dude, this is disappointment after disappointment. And then AP, you know, he's a great coach and everything, but it's still kind of, you know, everything's out on him still. And so I'm just, you know, hoping and praying that it works itself out, but at the same time, it works itself out in a positive fashion, man. So I got to read these articles all the time as far as these garbage quarterbacks like Wentz, dude. I remember last year, man, summertime, man, it was everybody. Wentz, possibly Ray. Man, I was just like, right. I just wish I could click off of it before even clicking on it. I didn't want to see the advertisement. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah, that's all I wanted to say, Q.
Hey, great call, man. It's always good to hear from you. And I remember that, man. There were so many times last offseason before they made the move to Jimmy G. And even while they were making the move to Jimmy G, I mean, let's call it what it is. It was like, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. And that's why I kept saying, if you're going to move on from Carr, which they obviously did, you needed to have a plan. You needed to get not a quarterback. You needed to get the quarterback. I said that 1,000 times, right? And obviously it didn't happen. They tried to make a move to go up to number one. It didn't work out. Okay, so they attempted. Maybe – you know, this fourth-round pick out of Purdue is the guy. Like everyone has said 1,000 times, he needs more time. He needs more time. Okay, cool. It's 5 more games. You know, as long as you can see the signs, as long as you can see the traits, great. But if you don't see the traits that you need to see, just like Houston in L.A. just said, he sees the traits of Terrell Pryor and Justin Fields, that's all I needed to hear. Because I remember those times. And I liked Terrell Pryor when the Raiders grabbed him in the the supplemental draft. I liked him. But he was a one-read guy. He was a very athletic dude. He clearly was before his time, right? I mean, now they're looking for Terrell Pryors. Not necessarily him, but they're looking for Terrell Pryors. Guys that could be athletic and throw the rock, right? Like a Jalen Hurts. Everyone's looking for a Jalen Hurts now. Everyone's looking for a Patrick Mahomes. Everyone wants Caleb Williams. Everyone wants Drake May, right? I mean, there's everyone wants, you know, even, hell, even a Dak Prescott who's playing really well this year, right? They just want to have that. Josh Allen, have that ability, be able to run the ball, be able to throw the ball. That's my preference as well. But if you believe you could do it with Aiden O'Connell, then you rock with him. I'm okay with that. You just got to know in your heart that this is the decision you're making and that you feel confident moving forward that that's the right decision. Because you got to stand on that. Just like Josh Jacobs says, whenever he's asked something and he says, this is what I'm going to do if given the opportunity, he's got to stand on that. The Raiders as an organization have to make whatever decisions they do moving forward, coach, quarterback, player personnel, whatever the case may be, and they got to stand on that. 4:30 is the time. We'll take a quick break, get some more calls, get some more texts, and go back inside the Raiders locker room. It's Raider Nation Radio 920.
This podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness on LVSportsNetwork.com is brought to you by Porta Subs. Make sure you check out Porta Subs' 6-foot party trays. They're perfect for game days. You'll get your choice of 3 made-to-order classic subs made with premium meats and cheese on your choice of fresh baked bread, loaded with fresh veggies, toppings, and sauces. Game day 6-foot trays serve 12 to 16 people, so you can sit back and enjoy the game. Available at all Las Vegas area Porta Subs, neighborhood sandwich shops, order ahead at PortaSubs.com.
This is Unnecessary Roughness, presented by the Jewelers of Las Vegas. Broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio. Here's your boy Q.
Of course, the show is brought to you by the Jewelers of Las Vegas. We definitely appreciate them each and every day for sponsoring the show. Definitely appreciate them trusting on us to get the message across that the Jewelers of Las Vegas is the place to go for any kind of jewelry needs you may have, rings, watches, necklaces, chains, custom pieces, whatever the case may be, the Jewelers of Las Vegas has you covered. Want to take you inside the Raiders locker room. We had an opportunity to catch up with many players on Sunday following the game. Josh Jacobs, Hunter Renfrow, Jacoby Myers, Amik Robertson. We talked to Devontae Adams, had a chance to catch up with Amir Abdullah. But talk to the guy. We waited for him to be last, as he usually is, but well-deserving. Taking his time was not a problem, and that's Mad Max Crosby, a guy that we found out, I believe, yesterday, and on his podcast, he dropped his podcast today, just everything he went through, hell and high water, to be able to get out there on the field on Sunday and play to the point where it looked like his knee had a basketball, and not a small pop a shot type basketball, but a real deal, official NBA-sized basketball. That's how big his knee is, swollen up, exaggerated a little bit. But it was very big compared to his other knee. He had to go to the hospital and still found a way to get out there on the field on Sunday, which is another reason I thought it was so disrespectful for Roderick Teamer to be out doing what he was doing. And also why I felt it was so disrespectful for Marcus Peters to not try when he's out there on the field, because a guy like Max Crosby, it means so much to him to have the opportunity to be out there on the field. And Marcus Peters, who was out there wearing that 24, acted like it was no big deal. So let's go inside the Raiders locker room and let you hear from Mad Max Crosby.
You know, obviously you're listed as doubtful and you tried to work your way back in. Everybody knows you don't want to miss time. So what has the last couple of days been like?
It's been rough. It's a long week. Battled a lot of things, but I don't want to miss any games regardless. You know, things happen in life. I've been through a lot, and you know, in general. So some people, you know, have their opinions, think I'm crazy, but I know I'm crazy. So it's fine. I love it. Everything I do with a purpose, and I did everything in my power all week, and I can't, you know, give enough credit to everybody on the Raiders staff, Alex Guerrero, Tim Harkins, all those guys. They freaking did everything in their power, and I pissed them off and kept them up all night trying to get on the field. So I can't say enough about those guys.
What did it take to convince them to get back on the field?
Well, there was a lot. It wasn't convincing. It was like, had some real issues going on. Was in the hospital, all type of yeah, it was tough, but found a way.
How do you feel now? And is it another rough couple weeks coming, or is the bye week coming at a good time? Where do you go from here?
No, it's coming at a good time for sure. Just had to battle through some things. It was just tough. Had some infections, certain different things like that. So I was, yeah, down for the count for 3 days. So yeah, just part of it. So luckily, you know, I have great people around me, great team around me, and they helped me a lot.
Max, what was your feeling? Look, about 4 minutes left in the game, they took you out. You didn't seem too happy about it. What was your feeling in that moment?
I was upset. I tripped up on the edge and slammed my body in the ground. So I think they thought I was hurt. And I was banged up a little bit, but like, I didn't want to come off the field, you know, at that point. It was just frustration more than anything. You know, you put everything into it. I played my ass off, and everybody was out there playing their ass off. So like, I just wanted to give our team a chance in a hard time. And I didn't want to come off, so as simple as that.
How tough was it just on a play-by-play basis to be in there, and how much pain were you actually in during the game?
We could talk about it all day, but I was in a lot of pain, I'll say that. But it is what it is. Like I said, I train all year round to do this, to give myself the opportunity to play 17 guaranteed games, and if I can go, like, I'm gonna go. So.
You guys had a 14-0 lead early. Do you feel there was a point when momentum kind of changed?
Yeah, you know, I mean, they're a really good team. They're defending champs, so you got to be on point from start to finish. You can't just be the first quarter. You know, we talk about starting fast, but you got to finish faster. So it's like you got to keep your foot on the gas at all times. And you know, they got the best quarterback in the world, so you can't lay off the gas whatsoever.
Max, I just asked AP, and I'm not going to try to get you in any trouble, but there were multiple times you were getting tackled. You could see the holds.
Yeah.
He said he's talking to the refs before the game, during the game, after the game. Are you as a captain able to say anything, or do you have to keep your mouth shut?
Nah, it is what it is. I'm used to it at this point. It's been hi, J-Rock. I'm used to it at this point. That's what happens. You know, when you win a lot of rushes, you're going to get held. So run or pass game. So it's just like a part. It's a part of it. You can complain about it. It ain't changing, so it is what it is.
What percentage were you tonight healthy?
Healthy?
It looked like at points, I guessed 60-65%. Was that pretty accurate?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't put a number on it, but I was going through it for sure.
Despite all that, you did, I think we got a third down sack, got the offense, the ball back on him a chance. What did you see on that play, and how that feels? That kind of a validation of everything you went through in the moment?
Yeah, you know, I just... out-of-body experience. I think I got freaking triple teamed on the play, and somehow I just kept fighting, finding a way, and made a play and help us get our offense another opportunity in a big moment. So yeah, it was a big play in the game. Like I said, out-of-body experience.
Patrick Mahomes, he said after the game he had a lot of respect for you. You guys may, you know, trash talk back and forth, but he had tremendous respect for you even seeing the field today. How mutual is that feeling between you and Patrick?
No question. Like I said, like I've said it many times, but he's the best in the game. And we go against each other twice a year. We have our back and forth and things like that, but at the end of the day, it's respect. When you see another great one across from you, you know what time it is. So every time, you know, he brings the best out of me and vice versa. So I got a ton of love for him regardless. That doesn't change how I'm approaching him. I'm trying to hunt his ass down every time I go out there, but he knows that and he respects it, and it goes both ways. So. Yeah, I got a ton of respect for him.
Was there something that they did offensively to all of a sudden kind of start having success, or did they just keep plugging away and it was just tougher to defend them?
They did a lot of different things. I got to watch the film, obviously, but like I said, it's the defending world champs. You got to be on point, and just little things. It just comes down to details, getting off the field in critical situations. We didn't do that well enough tonight, and we didn't play good enough complimentary football either. So those things go hand in hand.
Max, speaking of respect, did you see all the love that you got on Hard Knocks? If so, how good did that feel?
Yeah. I had some people in my family and stuff send it to me, so I checked it out. Me and Rachel watched it, and it's cool. You know, at the end of the day, I play the game for one reason. It's because I love it, and I want to leave a legacy and be the best at what I do. And when I see stuff like that, it just, you know, it's like a little bit more validation about, you know, all the work I put in. And you know, it's just a little check mark, but it gives me more motivation to keep going and keep getting better, because, I'm only at the beginning of this story. So every single day is a battle. Every day is a challenge. And, getting to see other teams and things like that preparing for me in different ways and practicing me doing extra stuff and all that, like, it's actually pretty damn cool to see. So, yeah, you know, especially when it's, great ones like, you know, Dolphins and Chiefs and things like that, like, some of the best coaches and players in the league, showing respect is really cool.
Max Crosby right there in the Raiders locker room. That was Sunday following the game, and you can hear he wasn't healthy. And when he was asked the question about how healthy were he, it's like, healthy? Healthy, it wasn't healthy at all, right? But he went out there and he did everything he could and that's what you could appreciate. You know, at the same time, you want to make sure you protect him from himself. You don't want him to have any kind of long-term injury only because you know how valuable he is to the team. But you could appreciate him giving every effort and making sure he can do anything possible to be available on Sunday when he was. And, of course, this week, the bye week, will be very important for one Mad Max Crosby. Let's go back out to the phone lines real quick, talk to our guy Greg from Sacramento. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind, my man?
Thank you, my brother. Thank you for taking my call. Shout out to you and Ari, as always.
Yes, sir.
You know what, Q? I had something else I was going to say, Q, but when I listened to that interview and, you know, you're talking about what they need to do, what the team needs to do, you know, over this bye week, they need to get behind Max Crosby, okay? This guy, you listen to this interview, you look at this guy's knee. You look at how he, against all odds, put himself out there, really putting his life on the line. You heard he got bacteria in there.
Yeah.
You know, playing with relentlessness, playing with fire. I remember Coach AP, and it's, you know, I like Coach AP, but I remember he said he wants to match his energy. Well, every coach, every player needs to match their energy. That doesn't mean pulling up when we got a little bit of lead. That means playing with your hair on fire for four quarters, sacrificing your own health, your own well-being for your team. Because you really, the same preparation, the same relentlessness, that's what I want to see. That just really got me fired up, too, because this guy is giving his all. This is the leader of the team. They need to get behind Max. They need to match him. And the second thing I want to see is a little bit of a flip. I think we're going about it the wrong way. When you look at our receiving core, with the three guys, with Renfro, Adams, Jacoby, and either tight end, because they're both weapons. There's not three better, four, maybe three, but there's not five better offenses better than that passing offense that's right there. Now, on paper, now right. They got to go out there and do it. I think we're doing the wrong thing. I think we're running to open up the pass. I want to see them going to buy and flip that switch. Pass to open up the run. Because it seems like every time we have success, we're passing the ball. We're trying to force the run. That's what we don't need to do. I just want to see that flip from AP. Tell these guys play with their hair on fire. Get behind Max. They need to listen to that interview. They need to ride with him, sacrifice everything, and pass to open up the run. Thank you, Coop, for taking my call.
Hey, good stuff, man. That's Raider Greg right there in Sacramento, the 916, hitting us up. And, look, that's something that we've talked about, right? Do you pass to set up the run? Do you run to set up the pass? Do you have a nice balance of both? I mean, look, and when you run the ball and you try to get, you know, 20, 25 touches for Josh Jacobs, ideally you're doing that with the lead. So you might have to do that. You might have to pass, like you said, to set up the run. You might have to be that team that goes out and aggressively passes off top to establish that lead, and then you hope that Josh Jacobs could continue to do what he does on the ground and keep the lead for you. I mean, that's obviously something to think about, something that we've talked about here on the show a few times, you know, if they can maintain what they've been trying to do. And I love the thoughts that you said, you know, for the team to go out there and play with their hair on fire like Max Crosby. There's a reason why. There's an absolute reason why Marcus Peters is not on the team anymore. There's an absolute reason why Roger Teamer is not on the team anymore, because they're not doing – what you just said, going out there and following Max and going out there playing with their hair on fire. And, again, when he is going through everything medically that he did to get out there on the field, and then you have a guy like Roger Teamer that's not even at the team hotel, and he's out riding around after drinking the night before or drinking and then going out and driving, as reckless as that is, as we know about that, especially that organization with what's going on, like that just, there's no part of we at all in that conversation. It's all me, 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 me. And oh, by the way, he's a guy that has been on IR all season long, finally going to get an opportunity to play, and he goes out and does that. And then I don't want to just exclude, you know, Marcus Peters out of this conversation. As much as I like Marcus Peters, as much as I would love to see it work out with Marcus Peters, I think we all saw a quick, fast, and a hurry along this journey, what it looked like with Marcus Peters out there and what he was doing, what he was willing to do, and what he wasn't willing to do. And what he wasn't willing to do was work really hard. He was willing to try to get after the ball when it was in the air and try to take it the other way. That's the fun stuff. That's what he's really good at. And I know that he's not a guy that's ever been known as, you know, a strong tackler and a guy that's going to go put his nose in there and do this, that, and the other. I get that. But you can give some effort, right? Instead of just putting your arm out and hoping it works, like, you got to do more than that. It can't be just half-assed and then, oh, well, that's okay because I got a pick six against Detroit, so that's cool. That's what they brought me here for. And that's why he's not there. That's why he's not part of the team anymore, because they're not going out there and playing with that relentless effort and matching the energy of a Max Crosby, like you said, that Antonio Pierce said, I want to match his energy. AP's got it. AP walks into the media room, and he's got the energy. We know that for a fact. You can see the players having the energy as well. They just have to, you know, they just have to go ahead and translate that and put that into winning football. So hopefully they do that and they find a way to rest, recuperate, and get ready for the final stretch, the last five games. They've got to get ready for that. That's what it's all about. So do everything they can. Hopefully Max is healthy. That would be fantastic. Love to see him come back. Of course, he doesn't, you know, want to miss any kind of time. He wants to play as many snaps as possible. He's a guy that's played the majority of the season. He doesn't want to miss anything. But I could appreciate his efforts that he put out there on the field. East Bay Raider Gray said on the don'tbebroke.com text line at 69187, keyword R&R, Raiders keep wasting prime years of good to great players. You're right, Q. They ain't got time to mess around. That's from East Bay Raider Gray. And that's the point. They have a lot of talent on their team. But guys like Devontae, they want to win. Guys like Josh want to win. Guy like Max wants to win, right? AP wants to win, right? There's dudes on the squad that want to win, that have come from programs that win, and they want to continue to do that. Josh Jacobs is going to be a question. You know, are they going to be able to bring him back after the season? What's going to happen with that? Obviously, he's on the one-year deal, right? The fully guaranteed deal. Max, you know he's under contract. What's going to happen with Devontae? There's going to be teams that are going to call for him. From everything it sounds like, he wants to be a Raider, which is fantastic. But don't mess off the, you know, great years that he has where he could really help your team and thrive as a big-time premier wide receiver, and then all of a sudden get everything, get your stuff together, get your work in order, I should say, at the end when he, you know, he's not the prime guy that he is. I mean, that's the real point. Again, couple of the big questions that are going to be asked this offseason and the priorities that the Raiders have to have, and they have to do it in the right order. You can't decide who your coach is going to be, then decide who your GM is going to be, and, oh, by the way, this is your quarterback. You can't do all that. Don't pull the Carolina Panthers and make the decision that they make. Decide first and foremost who your GM and head coach are going to be. They might be in place already. If they are, fantastic. Move forward with them. Decide who your quarterback is going to be. He might be in place. If so, fantastic. Move forward with him. If not, decide what doesn't fit and what does fit and move forward and make decisions. And you've got to make the right decisions. It is so critical to get this correct this time around. Mark Davis has attempted to do it a couple different times. It hasn't worked out for one reason or the other. It's not from lack of effort, but it's got to work out. That's going to do it for today's show. It's Raider Nation Radio 920. Have a good night.
And thank you so much for listening to the podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness here on LVSportsNetwork.com, brought to you by Porta Subs.